I'm speaking today with Rose Meza Harrison, who is running for Congressional District 27 here in Texas. Rose, first question I'd like to ask, why are you running for this office?
Okay, I'm running for Congress because we need a representative who understands the concerns and sacrifices of the people here in South Texas. I'm running to vote for the values of the family of the district and not special interests, because our current representative is totally out of touch and he's not really representing the people of our district. I'm not a multimillionaire. I'm a mother. I'm an attorney, and I was a single parent of three children who knows what it's like to live paycheck to paycheck, who knows what it's like not to have a job sometimes and not to have health care at times. And so I feel like I can relate to the people in our district more than anybody that is running for this position. In the past year, Blake Verenthold has voted for a plan that would triple the cost of Medicare for each senior. And he's cutting funding for women's health care. And he's reducing money for education programs. And these are the type of policies that threaten our upward mobility, our opportunity to secure so many Americans. So I want to make sure that these values for American families are that we still have an opportunity for each of these. So I really feel that I have the experience, the ideas, and the determination to represent the people of our district and to protect the American dream.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about your background. You are an assistant county attorney in Nueces County.
I'm a former assistant county attorney. I quit my job so that I could run full-time for this position.
Well, talk to me a little bit about what you did as an assistant county attorney, and talk a little bit about your political background. I understand you used to be a Democratic Party county chair.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, I was the Nueces County Democratic Party chair and the San Patricio County Democratic Party chair over the past 5 years. I was also a precinct chair back in the 90s. So a good part of my adult life has been dedicated to public service. I've also been a small business owner. As an assistant county attorney, I was in courtrooms and I saw, families, what families deal with, what children deal with on a day-to-day basis. A lot of the people that are in that court are people who are in poverty, people who get so frustrated and have so many problems financially that they end up, a lot of them, on drugs. And so that's a big problem. They're in jail. They spend, a lot of the people that are in poverty are in jail. So I see that, and I've witnessed that as a county attorney. An assistant county attorney also had experience and looked at other areas of law. Like I was an attorney for the mental commitments, and I saw what the mental illnesses that our people have in our community, and what needs to be, we really need to fix that. And also women who have filed protective orders, I witnessed that, so I can see what's going on with women and families. So I have a lot of experience as an attorney seeing what really happens with families and children. As a single parent also, I was able to see what happens in the schoolrooms and what our children need education-wise, and how these standardized tests, No Child Left Behind, is not working for children. So all of these experiences, life experiences, have helped me to understand people, real people, and what real people are going through in our district.
Obviously, the economy has been the dominant issue in recent years. What sorts of policies or legislation would you sponsor or support to, continue and enhance the economic recovery that we've had lately?
Okay. Well, basically, there's a lot of things that I would do to help strengthen, our economy and our education system. I want to make sure that I strengthen our education system create long-term jobs and opportunities. And we also need to ensure that we have quality and affordable health care for every American. At the same time, while we're ensuring a secure financial future, if elected, I want to make sure that the voters can be assured that I will fight every day for women, seniors, students, and other hardworking citizens. And what I'd like to do is I want to make sure, in order to protect the American dream, that I work on education. I want to focus on education as my priority. I want to increase Pell Grants and incentives to get more people into college. Right now, most part of our district, there's only 17% of our children who earn a college degree. And that's over, that we need to go ahead and increase that. And I also want, if we want to attract employers, we need to make sure that we have a skilled workforce. So that's why I definitely want to concentrate on that for a skilled workforce. I think this is going to help our economy. I also want to extend early childhood education access. Right now, we understand that there are studies that show that a child who begins to learn earlier can excel better if they increase this development, this cognitive development. I want to make sure that we promote math and science programs in middle schools and high schools, because these are the skills that are going to be necessary in a global economy. And we want to ensure that our students have the skills that employers need, so that we don't have to import foreign workers or export our jobs. So it's all about making sure that we have this, that we train our children in our schools and our education. We'll train our children to be able to compete on a global level. And so we want to make sure also that we have jobs, We want to create incentives and maybe some kind of tax credits like the president has already suggested to attract clean energy producers to the Coastal Bend and other areas in our district. We also need clean energy because I believe that if we had that, that would promote domestic jobs that, that don't need to be outsourced. And it'd also be better for our environment than what the proposed, we've got dirty and Petcoke and coke-fired power plants that are being proposed. And I believe that if we do, if we promote clean energy, that's going to be better for everyone. We want to also make sure that we promote hiring of veterans for their families. I know that there's a lot of unemployed veterans. I've talked to some veterans around the district, and they're not only talking about unemployment, they're also talking about their not being able to receive their medical benefits on a timely manner, and that they're having problems making sure that their wives and their spouses are covered and being protected also under the veterans benefits. And so we want to make sure that we have programs to help our veterans look for work through maybe some interview training and maybe some kind of skills workshops for them.
Okay.
And we also want to make sure that we extend tax credits for employers who hire military families, just like the president suggested. But not only are combat veterans, we need to also make sure that the family members also have access to that. And then the other policy that I would also make sure that that I am going to be working on is our health care, because we want to make sure that we provide quality and affordable health care for all Americans. So I'm going to be protecting Medicare from plans of privatization, and also I don't want to close, I want to make sure that we close the Medicare donut hole that costs our seniors a lot of money. They're spending thousands of dollars on prescription drugs. And then I want to make sure that we increase access to veteran services for veterans. And I'd like to see a veteran hospital, here in the Coastal Bend. That's another thing that the veterans are saying. They would love to have a veterans hospital. We have clinics, but we don't have a veterans hospital in this area. And so they're all saying, let's get this. We've been promised this. No one has done it yet. And they're tired of traveling thousands of miles to see doctors, or hundreds of miles to see doctors. And they said they need something better. They deserve better. And I believe they deserve a lot better. So the only way that I know we can help our spending control, you know, our financial problem is that we need to make sure that in addition to all these policies that will help spur the economy, we need to also make sure that we look for savings. You know, we need more savings, and we need to also not abuse. We need to cut waste and abuse wherever it can be found, but we also need to protect our vital programs that I just went through, education, health care, that help the middle class and the poor and struggling Americans. If we, if we just allow the Bush era tax cuts to expire, that would bring an additional $4.5 trillion over the next 3 years. I believe that that's going to be a big help in cutting and making sure that we regain control over the debt. So if we get rid of the Bush era tax cuts, that is going to be something that we can do to help rein in our debt, because if we only eliminate this cut for the wealthiest millionaires, you know, we could raise over $1 trillion. So, and we also need to go back to the tax rate of the 1990s, because that helped us. And during the 90s, we saw a big economic boom in America, and that would also eliminate some of this debt. Without having to lay off our teachers and police officers, you know, and everybody else, all these jobs that help the middle class families. So that's something. And another big issue, another big policy that I haven't talked about that I can distinguish myself against these other primary opponents is right now I'm the only one, as a woman, I have come out and I've stood my ground and saying that I am going to be helping women and women's issues. You know, women aren't a special interest group. They make up over 50% of the population in this county, in this country, and this district. And so I have said, and I will stand strong, and I'm saying that I'm going to work to protect women's health programs. I'm going to increase funding for women who can't afford mammograms and preventive health screenings. I'm going to fight to protect a woman's access to contraceptives and their right to make their own family planning choices. And I'm going to support legislation that would extend unpaid maternity leave to mothers who need up to 12 weeks leave for recovery and bonding. So these are the issues, these are the policies that I want to definitely fight for. To help save the American dream. I believe all of these will do that.
Okay. Since you started talking about education, you know, student debt for college tuition has grown enormously, and they say it's surpassed $1 trillion. And this obviously puts a big dent on people's abilities, you know, to make a living for themselves after they graduate college. What policies would you pursue to deal with that?
Well, yeah, student debt is a problem in our country. As a matter of fact, just recently, I was a student. I was one of those late bloomers, and not for my choice. I decided to have a family first, and so I had a family first, and then I decided to go back to school, and I started going back to school in my 30s, and which should have taken 4 years to graduate and receive a bachelor's degree in political science. Took me 8 years because I was, as a single parent, you know, having to work full-time and raise my three children. I was going to school at night and part-time. So it took me a very long time, but I was persistent, and I graduated after 8 years with a political science degree. After my last child graduated from high school, I went to law school. And so I put myself through college, and I put myself through law school, and I incurred, you know, some student debt. So I know exactly what that's all about, you know, graduating from college, graduating from law school, and then at the end just having this huge, big debt, this load on our shoulders, and then the jobs out there after we graduate are minimal. It's none. And I've talked to a lot of kids about it. I've talked to a lot of, you know, students who graduated and they're looking for jobs and they're not finding them. You know, they have master's degrees, you know, they've got all kinds of skills, but nothing to hold them, you know, nothing to help them. So what we need to do is make sure that we bring these jobs back to America. We're outsourcing them, you know, we're not connecting with industry to make sure that we have the type of skills that industry needs. If we do that, even at the high school level, if we have more vocational and technical schools, something that will help us make sure that we have skills that the industry is looking for, so that we can have, you know, skills. That's one problem. We don't have the skills, and the other thing is we're outsourcing. So we need to have tax incentives, some kind of tax incentives, to bring these jobs back to America. And then we also need to connect with schools. Industry needs to connect with schools so that we can have the schools that they need, so we can keep these jobs here in America. That's what's going to help. That's, you know, with regard to the student debt, that's going to either help them, you know, help them pay for their loans. And definitely we have to rein in the interest rate. They're trying to double it here in Texas. Already in July, they're looking at increasing it twice as much as the student rates or loans are right now. And I don't think that's necessary. We need to keep that low, the interest rates for loans. So we need to make education affordable. This isn't right that we are like one of the, you know, one of the best nations, I think, in the world, and that we're not providing education to our kids like we should, and our health care is also behind. So education and health care, those are the two definite, you know, issues that we definitely need to work on to make sure that it's affordable and accessible for every American. So education and health care really needs to be affordable, accessible for everyone. So those two are going to be at the very top of my list of things to work on and make sure people receive, so we can make sure the American dream is alive for everyone.
Okay. You're in a district that was affected pretty badly by the drought that we had last year, and of course, sure, in the Bastrop area there was those devastating wildfires.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say we've all learned from this experience? And, you know, in what way should the federal government have responded? Should the congressional delegation have responded to this? What responsibility do they have? And in what way could that have been improved? In what way would you do better at it?
Are you talking about the drought or the...
Either in both. You know, just kind of speak to whichever, you know, speak in whichever way you think makes the most sense.
Okay. Well, you know, first of all, we are experiencing a drought, so we need to be more mindful of our water supply. Number one, we're not paying it. We take advantage of our air and our water like it's something that is going to be there and is going to be perfect for us forever. But our environmental issues are also something that's near and dear to my heart. I want to make sure that we have clean air and plenty of water, you know, water supply. So when in times of drought, of course, we're going to have to be very conservative, but we also have to make sure that we're not using water needlessly. You know, we're going to have to find other sources of how do we preserve water, how do we protect it, how do we protect our supply to make sure that we're going to have enough in times of drought, to make sure that we're going to have enough for the future. So we have to start planning now and making sure that we have enough to take care of droughts, take care of fires, you know, to take care of anything else that might happen. So air and water are very important, you know, natural resources that need to be guarded and protected with dear life, because they are life. Without them, we can't live. So, those are something that we need to look at, definitely work on.
I mean, the district you're in, it's kind of a strange district going from the coast into central Texas. You know, obviously there was a big fight over redistricting, and, you know, the map that we have is still, strictly speaking, up in the air, subject to change for future elections. What was your view of, you know, the redistricting process, and in particular with the compromise map that was presented for this election? I mean, there are some some of the plaintiffs on the Democratic side thought we could have gotten more out of it. Others thought that this was the best we could do, or at least that it accomplished the goals that they wanted.
Mm-hmm. You know,
what is your opinion?
Well,
then let me also ask, what, if any, changes do you want to see to this district when, you know, the court finally gets around to ruling on you know, on redistricting?
I would like to see some changes in that respect in redistricting, and we have the Department of Justice who, you know, I believe we should leave a lot of how redistricting is done with that department. You know, this letting it go to the federal courts and letting the federal courts decide and it go back and forth from the Department of Justice to the federal courts, and, you know, it's why do we have to have, I don't understand why we have to have two different opinions on how the redistricting should go. We need to have one, and I know that's you know, that can also be, people say, well, we don't think that's fair because, you know, the justices are also, when they're either appointed, they're appointed by whatever party dominates at the time, and they are saying the same thing for the Department of Justice. The people that are in the Department of Justice are also appointed and are there by whatever party dominates at the time they're, you know, put together. So who should be the who decides how redistricting goes needs to be, I think we need to get one entity or one, like either the DOJ or the federal courts to decide what goes on, because going back and forth is too confusing. For one, it's too time consuming. When it goes to the federal courts, it you know, they go by what's on the court, you know, by how do they have time to hear this case? They've got other cases before the redistricting comes, so it takes a longer time. So in my opinion, I think the Department of Justice needs to decide how redistricting goes, and it needs to be taken out of the federal courts because it's just too time-consuming. So they need to determine. That's one time-saving way, I believe. And then, of course, then you have to look at the election laws, you know, to make sure that we're following them. And also, you know, we had in the years ago, we decided that there was there was a lot of people who were either disenfranchised because of various things, you know, various different reasons in the 60s, you know, Hispanics, people of color, the minorities were not treated fairly, and under the Voting Rights Act, we had some changes and some laws that were implemented. And so I think that instead of, you know, I know that there are people that want to do away with this. I think that we need to make sure they stay because that is still happening today. I mean, the Republicans are trying to find ways, in my opinion, to make sure that voters don't come to the polls. We need to make sure that there are laws that bring people to the polls. We need to make voting something that is everybody's right, and not put roadblocks like, you know, voter ID and you know, and whatever else they can think of to keep voters from coming to the polls. We need to have access to the polls, and so this, I just believe in, let's make it more available for everyone to vote, and let's just thinking of reasons to keep people from coming to the polls. So that's, you know, one thing that I want to see changed as well. We do have those in place. The Voting Rights Act have been a very good source for protecting minorities. We need to keep them. We need to make sure that minorities are not disenfranchised and have every opportunity to come to the polls and vote. So that's my take on it.
Okay. Now, this district that you're in, District 27, you know, was drawn to protect a Republican incumbent, and it, you know, if you just look at the numbers, it certainly looks like it was certainly drawn to elect a Republican. You know, how do you run an effective race in a district like that where, you know, it was not drawn for your benefit.
Yeah. Well, again, we need to follow the Voting Rights Act, and we need to make sure that we're protected and that minorities, because a large portion of Texas is made up of minorities, people of color, and people of color have been, you know, historically disenfranchised, and that's why we need to make sure the Voting Rights Act is protected, that we keep it, that minorities are able to come in, and that includes redistricting. So that's why we have to go through this process and fight to make sure that these minorities are able to vote and have that right to vote. So I don't like the way they drew this district, and, you know, I would have liked to have seen it more for, you know, leaning more for the minorities to make sure that the minorities have their representatives and they're able to elect somebody that truly represents the area and the district that they are, that they live in. So, you know, we just have to continue to fight to make sure that we get this. But I don't want to see Voting Rights Act overthrown. It needs to stay in place so that redistricting is more fair. And so the way it is, the way it's drawn right now, there are enough people in our district that are upset with the way Blake is voting to cut education, to cut Social Security and Medicare. Then hopefully, you know, they'll come out, they'll vote, whether they're Republican or Independent or Democrat, and say, we need a representative who's going to be fighting for the people. And so that's, I hope that people come out and vote and say, hey, you know, we want to make sure that whoever represents us is making sure that what we need is being provided for. And so that's my only hope, is that people in this district, the way it's cut out now, will realize that he is not voting for them and their interests. He's voting for his special interests.
Okay. And, you know, you have three opponents in the primary. Voting is going on now. Why should people for this primary vote to make you the Democratic nominee for Congressional District 27 and not one of your opponents?
Okay. Well, first of all, I believe I have the ideas, the experience, and the determination to beat Blake Barenthold. I think I'm going to be, you know, if you look at how the numbers are with, you know, how much he's the incumbent, he has raised the most money, he is the most likely person to win in the Republican primaries. Out of the people that are running on the Democratic nominee, I believe I'm going to be the candidate, the person that's going to beat Blake Barenthold in the fall. I just feel like I have that I have the best ideas and experience and the determination as a woman. I'll be the first Hispanic woman to represent Texas in Congress if elected. And I think that's a big deal to a lot of women and a lot of Hispanics in our district. But not only because of that I'm a woman or Hispanic, but because I've also worked in fields, I've worked in factories, I've worked in high-rise, you know, office buildings. I think that I've also been a small business owner, and I think that as a person who's gone through or has had all these different type of life experiences as a mother raising three children, you know, putting myself through college and law school and being without, you know, health insurance and a job at times, I can relate, and I know what people need in our district, what middle-class families need, and poor, you know, people that are in poverty in our district. So I know what it's like, and that's why I feel like I'm the best qualified. I'm the only candidate with the experience who has fought to ensure people have the right to vote. I'm the only candidate who has fought against big interests to oppose destroying our environment here. I'm the only candidate in this race who stood up for a woman's access to contraception and the right to choose. So I know I can get the job done, and I know people and where they stand on issues. So the other candidates really haven't come out with any policy positions and specific proposals. You know, they're good Democrats. They may be fine gentlemen, but I believe that I'm the only candidate who has the ideas, the experience and the determination to win this and provide the people of District 27 a true representative.
All right. Rose Mazur Harrison, thank you very much for talking to me today.
All right. Thank you.